many of you got joy this morning? Three on my right, on my left side have joy. Two on my right side have joy. I hope you're not so bogged down with the season that you've lost your joy. He came that we could have joy. The scripture says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy is your strength. When you lose your joy, you lose your strength. You know that? When you're downhearted and in despair or discouraged, how many know it's hard to get anything accomplished? You feel weak. You feel like you don't have the drive or the get up and go. My mom used to say, your get up and go done got up and went. Anybody ever had that happen to you? Your get up and go done got up and went, you know. We had heart trouble and dropsy when we were kids. We would drop down, didn't have the heart to get back up. That's what she would tell us anyway. Joy, joy to the world. Yeah. Anyway, I want to talk today about the Christmas story. And of course, again, we'll do it again next Sunday. But there are so many parts of the Christmas story that are so powerful, that are so prophetic, that are so full of the message of the season. And I'm sure, and as we normally do, we do weeks series on the Christmas story. We were out of town last weekend, so Pastor Jack Hiles filled in for us and did the sermon, and I heard great reports on that. And so we're blessed to have that happen and be a part of that. But I like to take more than one Sunday to share the Christmas story, the scriptures, the characters. I love the characters of the Bible. I love to look at their life. I love to look at their thoughts, their mind, their actions. And we read them sometimes and think they're like the, you know, like reading Marvel comics. They're superheroes and they, you know, they lived maybe a level above all of us, or they glowed in the dark. And the truth of the matter is they are people just like you and I. And the simplicity of the gospel is it wasn't anything of their own strength that made things happen. How many know it wasn't David's strength that killed the Goliath? It wasn't their own strength that made things happen. But because we serve a God who does not look for the most qualified, he qualifies those he calls. So if you're using the excuse that I'm not qualified, you're a good candidate for what God wants to do right now in this season and in your life. And if anything, probably that I have struggled with in ministry or in calling on my life has been my own insufficiencies. Amen. And maybe I'm the only one in the room. Maybe that doesn't seem to be to you. But most of the time in my prayer over at times to God has been, God, I'll do it. Like, I'm not unwilling to do it, but I want to know that I've got the goods. I want to know that what I do is effective, that it brings honor to you, and that what you called me to do, you will perform it. You know, and I love this saying that if it's God's will, it's God's bill. And that if God calls you, he will fund it. He will anoint you. He will fill you. And he will equip you for what he's called you to do. Do you believe that this morning? That's the first step in God doing the supernatural in your life. And what we see in the stories of the scriptures of the Bible is that God takes the willing vessels. And that when God speaks to those, even in the Christmas story, there was a response that was needed. Their response to God's voice, their response to God's call in their life propelled them into what God wanted to do. Now, I would say that probably, and I won't ask for a show of hands with this, but what is it in our life most of the time that keeps us from stepping out into the unknown or stepping into the next level of what God is calling to do or stepping out on faith for what we feel like God is saying, what do you think the biggest thing is that holds you back from doing that? Fear. That four-letter word. Fear. And so I'm going to talk about fear today. Now, you don't have to raise your hand if you've ever been fearful, but how many know fear works in a whole lot of different ways? Fear is not always a bad thing, right? Fear will make you use common sense in an unsafe environment. We might have a fear of heights, or you might have a respect of heights. Do you understand what I'm saying? So fear will make you be cautious in ways. Fear will make you run from the bear or run faster than the last person in front of the bear, right? You don't have to be the fastest runner. You just have to run faster than the last person. Is that how it goes, right? So, I mean, there's something. Fear will make you respond quickly. It'll make you your impulses activate or whatever. So fear is not always a bad thing. There can be a reverent fear. There can be a fear that we talk about, you know, in a reverence or a respect, you know, or the fear of the Lord. How many know I'm not afraid of the Lord? I'm not afraid of God. Nor do you have to be. If you knew the immeasurable amount of his grace and love for you, you would know he's not mad at you. He's mad about you today. And that's what you need to go away from here knowing. You don't have to be afraid of him. So when I fear the Lord, I'm not afraid of him. I respect him. I reverence him. But there can be fear that is crippling. Fear that will stop you in your tracks. Fear that will keep you from doing what's in your heart to do. Fear that'll keep you from going out of your house, or fear that'll keep you from stepping out into something greater because it's just easier to stay safe and comfortable. Amen? Sometimes it's just easier to play it safe and play it and stay where it's comfortable. But fear also is a motivator that sometimes, how many know you got to do, there's some things you got to do afraid. You got to give that book reporting class afraid. You got to step up there and do it. You got to face the crowd. You got to face that job interview. You got to face that giant. You got to face some things afraid. But I want to talk a little bit about this morning how we deal with that fear and how what God says about that fear. But in Isaiah 40, we know that Isaiah is the prophet that prophesied all about the coming of the Messiah. Behold, a virgin's going to conceive, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And as Isaiah 40 in verse 1, and I've read this here before, it's the beginning. If you've ever listened to Handel's Messiah, it's a big famous piece of music that's played at this time of year and in concerts and things like that. And I had never really had the opportunity much to hear Handel's Messiah. I'm pretty much a country girl, and if it wasn't on country music radio or whatever, we didn't listen to it. So I didn't have a lot of, I call Handel's Messiah a more cultured kind of stuff. I don't know. But anyway, when Beth was in college for music, they did Handel's Messiah, and we were privileged to get to go and listen to it. And of course, it's very much like an opera. It's a very long kind of a program, so it may or may not be your thing, and that's okay. But what I found out as I sat there in that arena listening to them sing Handel's Messiah, the Holy Ghost came on me. And I'm like, oh my sweet Jesus, they are preaching in this song. And if you know the history of Handel's Messiah, he locked himself in a room basically for about 50 days. And he started in Isaiah 40 and he wrote Handel's Messiah. And it totally is a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah all the way up to the birth of the Savior. And then ending at the end with the triumphal resurrection from, you know, the birth, I mean, all the way to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So that they did get to the end and they sing Hallelujah, the big Hallelujah chorus, right? If you haven't heard anything else, you've probably heard the Hallelujah chorus. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and he shall reign forever and ever. And wherever you go to hear Handel's Messiah, when they get to that chorus, everybody stands to their feet. Now, they don't really know why they stood to their feet. if it, you know, because the thought is that when the king heard the music, that he thought they were playing the national anthem of the country, so he stood for the playing the national anthem because he couldn't hear very good. My feeling is probably by the time you get to the Alleluia chorus, if you haven't had the Holy Ghost all over you, by that time you probably are going to, because when they hit that Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and he shall reign forever and ever. And it's such a prophetic picture, but he starts out with Isaiah 40, which is where I want to start today. And it says, comfort ye my people. Anybody need any comfort and joy today? A few of you do. Amen. Everybody can use a little comfort and joy. Are there boxes of tissues around somewhere? Because I have a feeling I might need one. Just take the box. That's all right. I could use my sleeve, but you might frown on that, so we'll just, I'm kidding. If I was in class, that's what they do. They just do this, and it'd be all good, but comfort ye, my people, saith your God. That is what God is saying to you today. Can I just say it like that? Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. I'm talking to somebody today. Let me read that again. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And then we drop down to the bottom part of that same scripture. It says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, everybody say but. That word but means behold, unveiling truth. That might be true. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm thankful that in our waiting, in our focus, in our reflections on him, that we have our strength renewed. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, I think about the eagle who soars, and they can soar above the storms, and they can sense the storm that's coming. And even though the storm is present, they're not affected by the storm because they know how to rise above it. And there are times in our life, and I'm thinking as I'm reading that, I got to figure out how to run and not be weary. But really more, I'm talking not so much about, you know, there's a lot, you know, maybe all of us in this have been weary in body, right? You just get tired, you're wore out. There's so much to do, so much to accomplish, and we've got, you know, whether it's jobs or whether it's wherever we are with family or everything you've got to get done yet. You may be sitting here looking at me with your eyes, but your mind is someplace else because you've got so much you've got to do, and we get weary, our bodies get weary, but more than our bodies getting weary, our mind gets weary. And that goes back to what I was talking about, with the joy of the Lord is our strength. If we allow our spirit to become weary, then how many know that filters out into everything that we do? And so even though my body might be tired, my spirit can be renewed day by day. And there's how many, we say sometimes at our house, it's a good kind of tired. There's a good kind of tired. The good kind of tired means I've accomplished a lot today. I feel good about what I do, but I'm tired. Yeah. Right? That's the good kind of tired. But how many of you know sometimes we can become weary in our spirit? We can become weary in our minds. We can become overwhelmed or overloaded with just things, just stuff. Amen? And sometimes we've got to reevaluate and we've got to stop and pause what's important and what, you know, don't sweat the small stuff, because pretty much it's all small stuff. And some of the things that we fret over or some of the things that we stress over really aren't, in the scheme of things, that big a deal. And we learn to step back, take a breath, and just focus on Him and rely on Him. Maybe put on some worship music. Maybe put on some Christmas music, whatever it is. But allow our thoughts to go to another place and take a deep breath for a moment. Right? And so those things are important. But when we're talking about his words, Isaiah's words there are words of comfort. He said, "Comfort ye my people. Say to them that there has come an end to their warfare." And most of our warfare is not with our hands. It's not with our neighbor. It's in our mind. It's in our thought process is where we war. We war with whether we're good enough. We war with whether we've done enough. We war, over what we need to do. And so the warfare ends up being in our mind a lot of times. And it filters out, as I said, into everything else that we do. But Isaiah is giving comfort to them. And the first part of Isaiah, the first 39 chapters, pretty much is woe is me. But on chapter 40, he begins to say, pretty much in a sense, enough. Because God is about to do, and he prophesies about what God is about to do. And sometimes, as I said before, there's a delay in those prophecies. There's a delay in those promises, and we wait and say, "How long, Lord? How long do I wait? How long until the fulfillment of your promise?" How many know Isaiah did not see in his day the fulfillment of the promise or the prophecy that he prophesied? But yet there would come a day that I feel like in the portals of heaven, when Jesus stood and God said to Jesus, "I'm about to send you to earth because you are about to become Emmanuel, God with us." That Isaiah high-fived him and said, "I knew the day would come." And so he prophesies and he tells them that. But when I think about fear and I think about, you know, our minds and things like that, 2 Timothy 1 and 7 is a scripture that I quote over and over and over to myself and to other people. "For God has not given us," what? "A spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." What a package that is. If you have fear, fear does not come from the Lord. For God's not given you a spirit of fear, but he has given you a spirit of power. How many feel like you're powerful this morning? He has given you love, an ever-encompassing love, a supernatural love, a love beyond comprehension. And he's given us sound mind. And I know I preach all the time about the stinking thinking. How many know sound mind is what gets rid of all of that? Because sometimes we have to control our thought process and say, "You know what, today I'm not going there. I am not going to let that rule my day. I'm not going to let that speak louder than the Holy Ghost inside of me that says, I am anointed, I am powerful, I am loved, I am purchased, I am chosen. And so a sound mind was when we allow that the mind of Christ said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, to put on the mind of Christ, to understand the purpose and the power of the cross. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now you can look at that and say, oh, well, I have fear, so I'm not made perfect. So you feel like the end of that. Maybe you feel like a failure. But what he's saying to here, if you really live, there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear. What is perfect love? His love is a perfect love. And when you know that you're loved, when you know the power of his love, you know the power of his affection toward you, then what that says to me is you don't have to be afraid. God's got this. And how many of you had to say to yourself in times of crisis or in times of need, God's got this? Where you just have to trust and say, I cannot control it. I cannot change it, but God. But I choose to live in his perfect love. I choose to live in his will. I choose to live loved, supported, surrounded, and encompassed by the love of God, that no weapon formed against me can prosper. Nothing that comes my way comes as a shock to God. Nothing that tries to come against me is more powerful than the love of God and his will and purpose in my life. And so I choose to walk in that today. I mean, sometimes you got to choose to stand on it. I choose to walk in that today. I choose to live in that. I choose to live in his abundant life right now. And so in Luke 5, if you can bring that up, we're going to just read, and I'm going to read a good bit of the scripture this morning, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on each one, and that's very hard, but I promise I'll try not to. But there are four major fear nots that God speaks in the Christmas story. Does anybody know who he speaks it to? He speaks it to the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, one more. Zechariah kind of begins our story. Now, when we left off in Isaiah, they were talking about prepare the way of the Lord, make a way in the desert for our God. Who come preaching and prophesying that? John the Baptist. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So it's only fitting that we start the story with Zechariah, who becomes the father and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, getting ready to usher in everything that Isaiah just prophesied. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now stricken in years. You know, every time I read that, I think about, and here I go, I think about the scripture says that they walked before the God, both righteous, and they were blameless. But how many know there was still barrenness in their life? There was still a deficit in their life. Walked in all they knew to do. How many know sometimes you can do all the right things, and there are still things that go astray, things that are out of our control? But it said they walked before God blameless. What a testimony. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. But the angel said unto him, fear not. Everybody say, fear not. Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and that wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. The angel comes to Zechariah in the temple where he's supposed to be, all by himself, burning incense at the table of showbread, and all of a sudden the angel Gabriel shows up, and Zechariah is afraid. How many are with Zechariah? And he begins to speak to Zechariah. Not only is he afraid because somebody's in there and he's supposed to be the only one in there, but he starts saying some crazy stuff. And he starts prophesying some things that Zechariah had already given up on. And he begins to say, those prayers which you've prayed, they're about to be answered. And we know sometimes there are some things where God steps in and says, those things that you thought were already past, those things that you thought passed you by, those things that you thought were already gone, I'm about to revive some old dreams. I'm about to stir up some new desires. And I'm about to birth out of you, Zechariah, just exactly what is needed in this season. And I'm going to bring forth out of your loins and out of your wife, Elizabeth. She's going to conceive and bear a son, and his name's going to be called John. Hallelujah. And the scripture says that Zechariah said, how in the world? My translation. How can these things be? Could it be that I'm not past my season? Could it be that God still wants to birth something in me? And the scripture says that because Zechariah did not believe, he said, I'm going to leave you unable to speak until the time that John is birthed. And I don't know about you, but I love those times in my life where God leaves me speechless, where I can't explain it, I can't declare it, I can't verbalize it to you. Sister Barb, I can't verbalize to you what's going on in me, but there's something happening. There's been a visitation from heaven. There's been a visitation of the Holy Spirit that showed up in the midst of my season of thinking that God had already forsaken me, forgot me, or left behind. But you showed up right in the middle of it, and you started to do things that I thought couldn't be done. And God, today you've left me speechless. And unable to speak. There's no way I can articulate in this season what God is saying to me. That's basically what's happened in Zechariah. I don't know how to articulate. I don't know how to speak and declare what's happening. But I know that something is happening. And it's going to be birthed in you. And the scripture said that his name shall be called John. And that name John means the grace of God. When God wants to bring grace into your life, he wants to birth grace in you. You're not going to call it Zechariah Jr. You're not going to call it after Elizabeth's family. You're going to call it what God called it. Whatever God names it, that's what you're going to call it, because it's not going to be what man can do. It's going to be what God can do in you in this season. Now, let me tell you this morning, don't you limit yourself to this Christmas season, because the season where God wants to birth something in you can happen at any season where you put yourself in a position where heaven shows up and starts to declare, announce some things from the heaven that God's going to do the supernatural or the impossible in your life right here and right now. Sometimes it might be in what God is calling to you to do. Sometimes it might be the next step. Sometimes it might be a job change. Sometimes it might be, you know, the next phase of your life. But how many know when God shows up, when heaven invades your space and starts to talk, sometimes it just leaves you speechless. And all you can say is, bring it on. Let it be, Lord.
Interesting that every time the angel appears for these spirits, he said, you know, her heart was troubled, or his heart was troubled. Because when we're stressed, somebody suddenly appears, you get stressed. The blood vessels in your heart, they start constricting. Your body starts doing all of these fear things. But when we change the way we think about something that stresses us out, our body responds like moments of courage. And I think that the angel was saying, fear not. Because I don't want you to be stressed about this. I don't want this to turn into something that makes you sick, that worries you, that stresses you out, that makes you struggle. Fear not. Let this be a moment of courage. Open your heart and think of this as a good thing. Because when we turn the way that we think about stress, our heart responds in a completely different manner. And it actually helps us to live longer. And so I think it's really interesting that our body responds. And God knows that. And he addresses that. Fear not. Don't let your heart be troubled. You know, he says that. Don't do that. Have courage in this moment. Don't fear.
Absolutely. Your heart opens up.
Yep.
Your heart opens up when you embrace courage, or when you embrace that. I mean, sometimes you got to just inhale courage and exhale fear. And you got to just let God. You can't let fear be the controlling factor in your life. You can let it be a motivator. But don't let it be an inhibitor or a barrier that keeps you from stepping into what God wants to do. The next person that we see in the story is Joseph. In Matthew 1, 18 through 25, Joseph. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Isaiah prophesying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I mean, God begins to speak, the angel begins to speak to Joseph and say, Joseph, fear not. For that thing which is born in her is of the Holy Ghost. He said, but you're going to get to name the baby. He said, Joseph, I want you to call him Jesus, but I want you to call him Emmanuel. That is God with us. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to know how it's all going to play out. All I need you to do right now is trust. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. Just embrace what I'm about to do and allow God to take you from here to there. How many know we worry about what's way down the road? The scripture says, but for sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. How many know sometimes you just got to take things one day at a time? And so as he began to be fearful, as he began to question, as he began to not be aware or not be able to grasp or put his mind around everything that God was doing, he said, just don't be afraid. Fear not. Joseph, fear not. In Luke 1, 26 through 38, we see Mary. And it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary's response, Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. The angel appeared to Mary and began to say to her, Thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. And she looked around to see who the angel was talking to, because she said, What manner of salutation is this? And he began to say what he was going to do. And he said, that thing that's going to be born in you, it's not going to be done by man. It's going to be done by the Holy Ghost. Somebody say the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is at work on your behalf. And so he says to her, fear not. A young teenage girl about to become the mother of the Messiah. Fear. How many know it can be fearful being a parent? And I don't know if it ever changes, even when they grow up. But how would you like to be Jesus's mother? How would you like to be Jesus's brother or sister? Jesus never did that. Jesus listens to his mother. Jesus walks on water. How many know when God calls you to do things that you don't understand, or he calls you to do things that seem outside of the realm of the ordinary, you're like, I don't know, God. I just don't know. And he said, fear not, Mary. I got this. Fear not. And her response to him was, be it unto me according to your will. Just as Jesus replied in the garden, not my will, but yours be done. And the last scripture today is the shepherds. In Luke 2, 4 through 15. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let's go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. The shepherds are in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. It said, and the angels, the multitude of the heavenly hosts came appearing in the sky right in the middle of the darkest season of the night and says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And the response of the shepherd was, let's go see this thing which the Lord has made known unto us. In every season, there is a response from us that says, let it be, Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Let's go and see this thing which you have made known. In your season, how many know the angels were in the dark? It was a dark time. It was a dark season in the night, keeping watch over the flock. And the angel appeared and said, fear not. That's what he's saying to us today. Fear not. God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Stand with me this morning.
Family, I just thought everything was over, you know. But God appeared to me, not in an image or in a person or in an angel. But I can't even tell you what the preacher preached that Sunday. Oft with my own, you know, darkness, that I couldn't see anything beyond that or hear anything beyond. But at the end of service, and he gave the altar call, I'm telling you, something took hold of me. And my heart just turned over and did a whole flip-flop, you know. I took hold of Jenny's hand, and we went to the altar. When I came home from church that morning, of course, Jack was waiting for me, you know. And when I came home, first thing I did was throw my cigarettes in the trash as I went in the door. And things just started changing. Daylight starts. It's always darkest before dawn, you know. But when daylight starts, it don't hit all at one time. That's the way it works with God. It may not all happen at the same time. Or it may not all happen the same way. God touches your life. You know it. I couldn't do anything but cry. I got in the car. Jack was always used to me being mad at him whenever. And I was mad at him that morning. He said, aren't you going to say anything? And I said, Jack, I gave my heart to the Lord this morning. I'm not fighting with you anymore. It's just not going to be that way anymore. And that I couldn't hit him harder. But I told him, I said, when I gave my heart to the Lord this morning, I told him that you can either, he can either get saved or do whatever he wants, you know, whatever you choose. Finally, he chose God to. But it started slowly, and then it worked.
Amen. And when he comes in, he removes fear. Amen. If you're here today and you're fearful, if you've been dealing with fear and you want special prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. If you're here and you haven't asked the Lord into your heart and you don't know him as your personal Savior, it's such a simple thing and it's available to you. It's the greatest gift you ever receive. And so we want to pray with you today for that as well. But as she sings this morning, if there's a need in the house, or if you need special prayer, if you want to receive salvation, we open the altar to you. Hallelujah.